the number one factors why we get this meno belly is this cortisol. You may have heard the term cortisol or stress belly. And so if we're doing things that are making our body more stressed, and we're all stressed to begin with, but if we're putting our body into more of a stress state by dieting and overexercising, that's actually going to backfire, especially in perimenopause and menopause. So if you have a goal to prevent weight gain or lose weight specifically in your belly section, let's dive into some strategies for that beyond diet and exercise. So of course, those things are important, but we're going to take a look at more of the metabolic factors today and things you should get tested or looked at with either your doctor or your functional practitioner. Welcome to the Fix Your Gut podcast. I'm Holly, a functional nutritionist with a BSc nutrition and a BA psychology, and I'm here to empower you to understand why you have gut issues and give you simple, actionable strategies based on the latest gut microbiome science combined with centuries-old, tried-and-true mind-body practices that not only banish bloating, heal IBS, heartburn, and reflux, reverse food sensitivities, but also boost your energy, mood, and metabolism. You're here because you're frustrated with conventional medicine. You're sick of looking 6 months pregnant every time you eat. And your gastro says everything is normal, but clearly something is off. You've probably already tried gluten-free or low FODMAP diets and probiotics, but nothing seems to work. You deserve to know the truth about your gut and how to heal on your own terms without having to rely on medications or invasive procedures. Each episode, we go beyond gut healing diets to understand the role of your gut microbiome, nervous system dysfunction, and so much more, so you can break up with those diets, stop fearing food, and get your life back. I interview experts in the fields of gut healing and mind-body medicine, including naturopaths, chiropractors, yoga teachers, and more, to help empower you with simple yet critical daily practices that allow you to harness the power of the mind-body or gut-brain connection to fast track your gut healing. Let's dive into the episode. Hey guys, welcome back to the Fix Your Gut podcast. I had a lot of requests to record something on how to banish meno belly. Now, while I want to be someone who is body positive, right, there are a lot of people I work with that have weight loss goals. And the other thing is, if you're someone who tends to gain weight loss specifically or only in your belly area, that actually is saying something that your metabolism is off, and it's actually a risk factor for chronic illness like diabetes and heart disease. So I want to share some strategies with you to both prevent or help reduce meno belly, and also help you understand why the things that used to work for you when you were younger are no longer working for you in perimenopause and menopause. And that's because there's a lot of major shifts that are happening, including major hormone shifts. So in perimenopause, the hormones are all over the map. One day your estrogen might be sky high, the next day it's lower. And then in menopause, you're having consistently low estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. So these massive hormone shifts, much like you experience, for women who are menstruating and are getting close to their period, you start to get symptoms, you start to get more bloating, maybe more constipation, maybe you get one single day where you have diarrhea. It's always the hormone shifts that are making such a huge contribution to gut issues, but they do also impact metabolism and weight as well. So in this episode, I really want to dive into a couple things. Because hormones are not my area of focus, but I just want to make you aware of these hormone shifts and how they impact things like bloating, and why we might think that we've, say gained 5 pounds overnight by having some alcohol and some treats the night before, but how that's more likely bloating or constipation, because you don't gain weight that quickly and that suddenly from one night of indulgences. So I want to empower you with that knowledge to understand how your metabolism works and all of the factors that impact metabolism, because when we fixate on diet and exercise, we tend to go too extreme. And so if we're doing extreme diets, so we're counting calories, we're cutting calories, we're counting macros, we're doing low carb or keto, and we're also hitting the gym 5 days a week, that is a stressor on the body. And as we age, our body and the way we use stress hormones or process stress hormones, and one of the number one factors why we get this meno belly is this cortisol. You may have heard the term cortisol or stress belly. And so if we're doing things that are making our body more stressed, and we're all stressed to begin with, but if we're putting our body into more of a stress state by dieting and overexercising, that's actually going to backfire, especially in perimenopause and menopause. So if you have a goal to prevent weight gain or lose weight specifically in your belly section, let's dive into some strategies for that beyond diet and exercise. So of course, those things are important, but we're going to take a look at more of the metabolic factors today and things you should get tested or looked at with either your doctor or your functional practitioner. So number one, as I just talked about, is we have to get your body out of that survival state. Whether or not you feel stressed, you probably are stressed. Your body is stressed, especially if you're not sleeping well, you are on the go 24/7 and have very little time for yourself. If you're feeling irritable and on edge and have extreme cravings for salty foods or sweets, if you get bloated very easily, if you feel like you're reacting to everything you eat, you're getting migraines or headaches all the time and you can't figure out why. This is all symptoms that your body's trying to communicate with you that you are stressed and your nervous system is fried and you need to find a way to slow down, give give your body what it needs to feel calm and rest and recuperate. So that doesn't mean, you know, spending all weekend on the couch necessarily, but it does mean taking a look at your priorities, setting boundaries with the people you love, with your work, and making yourself more of a priority. So whether that's investing in things like massage or acupuncture or doing some hypnotherapy, or whether that's spending more time in nature. So going camping or just going for hikes or walks. Maybe for you, you really find guided meditations or deep breathing to be really helpful in grounding yourself and feeling calm. Whatever helps you feel that way is what you need to add into your life and as often as possible. Because we have these daily stressors, we can't prevent stress. We all have stress, but we have to do the things that allow our body to feel calm and regulated. So a term that I've heard, especially in this book that I love called Burnout, this Completing the Stress Cycle or something by Emily Nagoski. She's talking about completing the stress cycle. So literally the stress cycle starts, you're pumping full of stress hormones. Okay, that's fine. But unless you do something to tell your body and mind that it's okay and the stress is gone now, once the situation's passed, you might get stuck in that stress cycle and you're still pumping stress hormones, right? Continuously. So something stressful at work happens. At the end of the day, you're still feeling on edge. What can you do to shift out of that stress situation and get yourself into a calm rest and digest state where healing can happen and those stress hormones are shut down? Because number one thing I see with people, and one of the biggest factors for nervous system dysregulation and burnout, mental health problems, cravings, weight gain, is poor sleep. So that's another big one, especially as we get these big hormone shifts happening, it tends to impact our sleep. And that's also because at this phase of life, we're more stressed. We're, you know, caring for aging parents, we're working, we have kids we're caring for. There's lots going on. And that stress itself and the stress hormones like cortisol are going to keep you awake at night if we don't find a way to shut them off. And cortisol and melatonin are inversely connected, meaning the more cortisol is pumping, the less melatonin is going to be produced in the body. And we need that melatonin, that sleep hormone, to both fall asleep and stay asleep. A big thing I see happening with all of my clients that are midlife women is maybe they don't have trouble getting to sleep, but they wake up in the middle of the night at 2 or 3 a.m. Now they're wide awake, their heart is racing, they feel anxious, and they can't get back to sleep. Now, there can be several causes of that. One of them is they don't have enough melatonin. They've got that stress hormone pumping at the end of the day and they haven't shut it off. But a big, big one, and we're going to get back to some sleep strategies. I'm kind of jumping all over here because things are connected. But A big one here is your sleep is getting disrupted because your blood sugar is crashing in the middle of the night. Now, how this is connected. When you're not sleeping properly, you're going to have more blood sugar imbalances. When you're stressed all the time and cortisol is pumping, you're going to have more blood sugar imbalances. And literally just the hormone shifts that happen, especially in menopause, contributes to blood sugar imbalances. So you're really kind of fighting an uphill battle in this phase of life where we really have to dial in nutrition and regulate the nervous system and specifically do muscle building exercise like weights or yoga, things that build muscle. These things in combination help you balance your blood sugar. So you can see how blood sugar crashes in the middle of the night, cause cortisol to be released. Now that's pumping and you're wide awake. You're not sleeping. You have more cravings the next day. Your blood sugar is more imbalanced. You're tired. You're irritable. It's just a vicious cycle, right? And there's literally a connection between poor sleep and weight gain as well because of that stress hormone and because of the cravings. So all that to say, of course, we need to do the things that help us to feel calm. So whether that's meditation or deep breathing or yoga, and workouts are really important too, focusing more on weight training and muscle building exercise for bone health for sure, but blood sugar management. Because the more muscle you have, it's metabolically active. It's actually taking in sugar from your bloodstream to use for energy. That muscle needs sugar. So to keep our blood sugar balanced, we need muscle mass and we need to eat to balance blood sugar. This is the biggest thing, and it really kills me that we don't get taught this anywhere in our lives, really. You know, we're handed the food guide or we, you know, get some general nutrition guidance from a trainer at the gym or something. Oh yeah, you need to eat chicken, broccoli, and sweet potato. Okay, but why? Why are we having to eat these foods? And why are people always saying we have to eat every 3 or 4 hours? What's the deal behind that? So the really critical thing, especially in this phase of life, and especially when it comes to metabolism, is eating to balance blood sugar. And that means eating regularly. And so every 3 to 4 hours or when you feel hungry. And when you do eat, you need to have an important combination of protein, healthy fat, and fiber. And that's because fat and protein are digested much more slowly than carbs. We want foods that produce a slow, steady rise in our blood sugar for our energy levels, and that holds it steady for several hours. When we have blood sugar ups and downs all day, so we're skipping meals, or we're just having a latte for breakfast, or we're having a muffin as lunch, we're having blood sugar peaks and crashes. You're going to get hangry, irritable, you're going to be gaining weight, you're going to have brain fog, all the things that we struggle with in midlife. And so really critical to dial in that nutrition, even if that just means having, you know, a protein shake in the morning or a protein bar as your snack after your workout. It doesn't mean having to spend hours and hours and hours in the kitchen. While it's obviously better to make home-cooked meals than to eat out, and it's better to have a balanced home-cooked meal with variety rather than always having a protein shake, as long as you're getting your protein, fat, and fiber, that's what's going to keep your blood sugar balanced. So really, really critical for weight management, critical for so many things, preventing diabetes, heart disease, all of these chronic diseases, and even slowing the aging process. If you're really concerned about your looks, and most of us are, especially as we start to show signs of aging, imbalanced blood sugar actually causes more rapid aging. So really keep that in mind as well. Now, the other thing we need to do to help optimize metabolism in midlife is get our gut health balanced out. Now, I see this a lot with women thinking that going, having a bowel movement every 2 days or maybe every day, but it's just little pellets. They're like, oh, that's fine, right? That's not actually constipation. I'm still going. It's just not as regular as maybe I should be. Or they just happen to think that's normal. If you're not having a full, complete bowel movement every single day that's easy to pass, does not have a lot of undigested food, does not look oily, but it's a full, complete, snake-like bowel movement every single day, unless you're having that, you are constipated. On the other side of the spectrum, if you're having diarrhea all the time, that's going to pose other problems. But most women I work with are struggling more with constipation. So what can we do with that? Because I'm sure if you've gone to your doctor, they either suggested a laxative, or maybe they sent you to a gastroenterologist, a gut health specialist, and they just told you you have IBS or you need to have more fiber and more water. For most people that have chronic gut issues and bloating and weight gain and struggling with a lot of chronic concerns, oftentimes adding more fiber can actually make them more bloated and more backed up, just feel gross. While fiber is very important, without working on optimizing your gut balance, your microbiome and your gut bacteria balance, adding a ton of fiber is probably going to make you feel worse. Same thing goes for probiotics. Yes, probiotics have proven to be helpful. They are very helpful. But if you have a really imbalanced gut microbiome, you know, you haven't been eating well, you're really stressed, you recently took antibiotics, and you throw a probiotic in the mix, it's like adding fuel to the fire. You're probably going to get more bloated. Maybe you'll have diarrhea, or maybe you'll get more constipated. Really need to work with someone like myself, especially if you have a lot of food sensitivities, heartburn, nausea, gas, bloating, constipation, especially if it's been chronic for quite a while. You probably have already a very bad, what we call dysbiosis or gut microbiome imbalance, whether that's an imbalance, not enough good guys, or an actual infection in your gut of some kind. That needs to be addressed with a very specific stepwise gut healing protocol before you start tolerating things like probiotics and more fiber, right? So if you're really struggling with constipation, I recommend reaching out to myself because there's lots of underlying causes that could be contributing to that. Number one, and the biggest thing that I see with my clients, especially a lot of them that have already, you know, done a lot of gut healing work, is if they are stuck in that survival mode, they're stressed out, and they don't realize how much of an impact that's having on their bowel movements. And I want to just say real quick here that if you think you're gaining weight in your belly, but you don't have regular bowel movements, it's probably not weight gain. It's probably you're literally full of poop and you need to be going to the bathroom every day before you start worrying about your metabolism. But the incredible thing is our gut bacteria is directly linked to our metabolism and our weight. So one of the roles that gut bacteria play is that they harvest food or harvest calories from our food. And some bacteria, some of the bad guys, can actually harvest up to 20 to 30% more calories from a meal than other bacteria can. So that's actually a big factor. But constipation alone and the inflammation it causes in the gut is enough to impact metabolism. And that can happen in a number of ways. It can happen by causing more hormone imbalances. It can happen by causing systemic inflammation through your bacteria triggering an immune inflammation cascade. And we know inflammation affects so many things, including metabolism. And that can even get to the point where it's causing something like Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So if your thyroid's not optimized, and we'll dive into this more shortly, that is a huge impact on your metabolism. But usually in people that have weight gain specifically in the belly, it has more to do with the stress hormones and the blood sugar piece than anything else and or constipation. Typically people that have thyroid issues are more likely to gain weight all over the body rather than specifically in the gut. But I will touch on that shortly. So if you're constipated and fiber and water is not working, what do you do? Well, you can try a probiotic. I would recommend a probiotic that has more bifidobacteria strains in it. So things like Bifido infantis, Bifido longum, those are ones that are more specific to large intestine and colon health and bowel movements. If that doesn't help, you could try something that's more of a natural laxative like magnesium citrate. I use this a lot with clients. And as we do higher doses of magnesium citrate, it does loosen the bowels because it's not well absorbed. So magnesium citrate, I usually have them take, you know, 2 capsules or so at bedtime, see if you have a bowel movement the next morning. If you don't, then we increase it by another capsule and another capsule until you go. If you get bad diarrhea, we back off by 1 capsule. And we use that as a temporary measure to get the bowels moving so we can do the other gut healing work. Because when I work with clients, until they are going to the bathroom every day, we can't start any work on the microbiome, including specific supplements I use to kill off bad or inflammatory bacteria, because they release a lot of toxins. And if we aren't going to the bathroom every day, those toxins are going to make us feel really sick. So all that to say, we can use some other strategies like probiotics, magnesium citrate, aloe vera, Trifala, and I love motility supplements that have combinations. So there's one that I use called Motility Matrix that has, I believe it's ginger, artichoke, 5-HTP, and one other thing. Those are all really great for motility as well. And there's a lot of motility supplements on the market. 5-HTP is the precursor to serotonin, and serotonin in the gut acts to keep things moving. It's a prokinetic motility inducer. Now, you don't want to take something like that if you are on an antidepressant, so just a side note there. Artichoke is more specific for liver gallbladder. So another reason that people tend to have issues with bloating and digestion and constipation in this phase of life is because they have liver gallbladder issues. So this is especially common if you've ever lost weight rapidly, if you've been on birth control, if you've taken other medications long term, if you have gut dysbiosis, especially SIBO. This can all contribute to liver gallbladder problems. And you don't necessarily have to be diagnosed with fatty liver or diagnosed with gallstones to have issues here. A lot of women just have sludgy bile in their gallbladder, and we need this bile that's produced in the liver, stored in the gallbladder, and released in response to a meal. Bile helps to digest fats, but it's also a natural laxative. It has so many other benefits for the body. But a lot of women end up with this sludginess in the gallbladder where it becomes thick and sludgy and the bile can't get out. And that's when we start to have troubles digesting foods higher in fat. We might get diarrhea from them or indigestion or heartburn, but we also start to have more bloating and more constipation. So that's something that we need to support as well. And then the final thing I'll say for constipation, if you feel that's a factor for you based on what I've shared, ginger is really great. So whether that's a strong ginger tea, ginger capsules, if you're really struggling with constipation because it's a much higher dose, and using fresh ginger in your cooking as well. Okay, so we covered stress hormones and the nervous system. We covered the gut microbiome, and we covered constipation. Now I want to talk about dieting real quick. I did kind of mention this already, but again, dieting is a stressor on the body. And the more we stress out the body, the more it hangs on to fat mass. Okay, so we're not going to lose fat when we're in that stress state. So under eating, keto, counting calories, we have to let go of all of that. And hopefully this episode, you know, starts to shift your mindset around metabolism and understanding that it's not just calories in, calories out, or diet and exercise. It's also your stress hormones, your sleep, your genetics, your, bile and liver function, and your thyroid and your sex hormones, right? There's so many factors for metabolism. So we have to let go of the idea of diet and exercise as the only way to lose weight. And as we learn these things, hopefully your mindset will shift around that. Now, again, just touching briefly again on exercise. Yes, cardio is very healthy for you. But again, too much intensive exercise, if you're doing, you know, intensive workouts or CrossFit 5 days a week or more, need to back off on that. Learn to slow down, listen to your body. If you're having a day where you're feeling more tired, what is your body craving today? Movement is always good, but some days you're going to want more gentle movement. So maybe you're doing a gentle yoga flow, or you're going for a walk instead of an intense workout, or, you know, like a HIIT workout or CrossFit. You're doing more gentle things more often. But again, that focus needs to be more heavily on exercise that builds muscle mass or weight training. And that is what's going to boost metabolism and keep that blood sugar balanced. Now, the final thing I want to share in terms of Menobelly, like I said before, it's with your thyroid, it is the master of your metabolism. But from what I've seen, and I'm not an expert in thyroid by any means, But from what I've seen, people that have a sluggish thyroid or autoimmune thyroid conditions tend to gain weight kind of more all over the body versus just the belly area. But if you're really struggling with metabolism and weight gain and you've already tried a lot of these things, so you've been working on your gut health, you're working on regulating your nervous system and getting your sleep, you're doing your exercise, you're eating to balance your blood sugar, and you're still struggling, you may want to get your thyroid tested. So your thyroid's the master of your metabolism. It sits in your neck area there, and it impacts all other functions of the body. So whether, you know, it impacts your energy, your brain function, your metabolism, your body temperature. And this is why people that have a sluggish thyroid have, you know, brain fog, they're tired, they're constipated, they can't lose weight, and they probably have more likely to have things like depression. So getting your thyroid checked, if your doctor agrees to do it, make sure you advocate for yourself and ask not just for TSH, T3, T4, which are the basics that they usually do, and sometimes it's only TSH, but make sure, especially if you're feeling, you know, autoimmunity runs in your family or you're feeling inflamed in any way. Most of us are dealing with chronic inflammation these days, and autoimmunity is really on the rise. I'd say up to 70% of my clients have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune thyroid condition. So make sure you advocate to get your thyroid antibodies checked. So it's anti-TPO and anti-TG. Without testing the antibodies, if your doctor comes back and says you're hypothyroid and your thyroid is sluggish or underfunctioning, well, why is that, right? It doesn't just happen. And most of the time, the most common cause is the autoimmune thyroiditis, Hashimoto's. And the thing here is, your doctor will likely prescribe you thyroid hormone, but just taking thyroid hormone if you have Hashimoto's is not going to be enough to slow the attack on your thyroid gland and get your metabolism boosted. We have to approach it from an approach of supporting the immune system or balancing out the immune system and bringing down that inflammation. Until that happens, thyroid hormone supplementation just won't be enough. So really make sure that you advocate for that testing. If you're going to your doctor and they're open to doing testing for you, and you, especially if you haven't had blood work in quite a while, highly would recommend you get your blood sugar tested while you're there and your liver cholesterol panel as well. So with blood sugar, again, oftentimes they'll just do random blood sugar or fasting blood sugar, blood glucose, it's called. But you also want to advocate to get your HbA1c, which is the 3-month average. And that's how they diagnose things like prediabetes, which is incredibly common, especially as we age, and fasting insulin. Those ones are really critical because that tells us more about what's going on over a longer period of time and whether you have something called insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is really common as we age, unfortunately, and especially in people that have chronically imbalanced blood sugar. And that is something that contributes to developing diabetes. So insulin resistance, what the heck is it? Insulin is released from your pancreas in response to a meal. And it's the key that lets the sugar from your food, so your food's broken down into sugars to use for energy, and your cells need to get that sugar inside and use it to make energy for you. So insulin is the key that opens up the cell and lets the sugars inside so your body can make energy. But with insulin resistance, your cells become unresponsive to insulin. The key doesn't work anymore, and the sugar can't get into the cell. So now you have sugar building up in your bloodstream, building, 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 and your blood sugar is going to be chronically high, causing a lot of inflammation, a lot of weight gain, all kinds of health issues. So that's a really serious situation where we need to make those cells responsive to insulin again to get the sugar into the cell so your body can make energy for you and prevent from things like diabetes. Now, there's a variety of methods we can use to do that, but one of the most important factors for reversing insulin resistance is weight training exercise. Really has been proven to resensitize those cells to insulin, bring the blood sugar down, and get your body back into a healthy state. You're eating clean and taking your probiotics, but nothing seems to work. You still look 6 months pregnant and feel heavy, bloated, and foggy. There's a gut healing secret they're not telling you. Your body simply can't heal when it's stuck in survival mode. And most of us are. See, your body craves balance, and it's not balanced when you're down to 10 safe foods, prioritizing productivity over self-care and rest, relying on medications or supplements to function, and neglecting your mental health. When you join the Fix Your Gut app, you'll learn how to fast-track your gut healing and be bloat-free in as little as 3 months by combining the power of science with the time-honored mind-body daily practices that shift your body into a healing state, so you can achieve less bloating, regular bowel movements, reverse food sensitivities, have regular... You're eating clean and taking your probiotics, but nothing seems to work. You still look 6 months pregnant and feel heavy, bloated, and foggy. There's a gut healing secret they're not telling you. Your body simply can't heal when it's stuck in survival mode. And most of us are. See, your body craves balance, and it's not balanced when you're down to 10 safe foods, prioritizing productivity over self-care and rest, relying on medications or supplements to function, and neglecting your mental health. When you join the Fix Your Gut app, you'll learn how to fast-track your gut healing and be bloat-free in as little as 3 months by combining the power of science with the time-honored mind-body daily practices that shift your body into a healing state, so you can achieve less bloating, regular bowel movements, reverse food sensitivities, have regular... shifted into an optimal healing state, and those dietary changes and supplements can actually do their job. Want to learn more and get access to exclusive discounts? Join the waitlist by heading to the link in the show notes. Sleep and wake up refreshed and radiate beauty with clearer, more radiant skin and strong hair and nails. If this sounds like you, you'll want to join us inside the Fix Your Gut app coming this fall. And the app is unlike anything you've tried before, because not only does it walk you through the 4-step gut healing plan that I use with clients, but it also helps you build the 5 foundational gut healing habits that you're probably missing from your routine. And that includes mindset, sleep, nervous system regulation, meal prep, and movement. Once you have these 5 foundational habits in place, the last thing I wanted to add and kind of go back to the beginning here and touch on those hormone shifts that are happening. So women in perimenopause, it's tricky because the hormones are up and down, up and down. But there's a lot we can do when we do these foundational basics to help the hormones be more balanced, right? So getting your sleep, getting your movement, eating to balance your blood sugar, reducing inflammation. These are all critical steps that will help your hormones be a little more balanced. There are supplements that can help with this as well, but I don't recommend self-prescribing, especially if you're on other medications or have other health conditions, as most of these supplements contain herbs that are very potent and can cause a lot of interactions with other medications. Now, with people in menopause, here's the thing. When our hormones are all low, so we've got now low estrogen, low progesterone, low testosterone, how does that impact metabolism and gut health? Low estrogen. So estrogen in the body is actually prokinetic. It helps the bowels move. So you think about it this way, estrogen and serotonin are intertwined. They kind of go up and go down together. And that's why we get depressed when we have lower estrogen. Now, we just talked earlier about how serotonin in the gut is prokinetic. Same thing for estrogen. So that's why in menopause, when estrogen drops off, we tend to have more constipation. Progesterone is more of an anti-inflammatory, anti-anxiety, helps with sleep. So you can see how when progesterone drops off, we're going to have more inflammation, more sleep issues, and all of that. But less likely, I mean, it is tied in, estrogen, progesterone, and all the hormones connect with each other. But I want to talk more specifically about estrogen and then testosterone. So testosterone in women, we need it for optimal muscle mass. And so when we have a little bit higher testosterone before menopause, it's easier to put on muscle mass when we're doing workouts. And so again, when we have that muscle mass, our metabolism's higher, our blood sugar is more balanced. So it's tricky, especially if you're just starting out with workouts in menopause, it's going to be a little bit harder to put on that muscle mass. So we really have to be more intentional with the types of workouts we're doing, our protein intake and things like that, and may want to even consider hormone replacement therapy to help your body be more able to put on that muscle mass. So that low testosterone is a factor there. Now, the final thing that I forgot to add when I was talking about the gut microbiome in menopause and these hormone shifts is something that happens in menopause is we tend to shift our microbiome profile. So all of these major shifts cause a big shift in our gut microbiome. And one of the things that tends to happen is we grow more of these microbes called methanogens. Methanogens are actually an ancient microbe called archaea. They're not a bacteria or a yeast. They're archaea. And they're quite difficult to kill off. So this is why it's a little more tricky when I'm working with women in menopause. But these methanogens, they're called that because they release methane. And so unfortunately, that might cause more stinky gas, methane, right? But more importantly, methane is paralyzing to the gut and can contribute to constipation. We talked earlier about how that chronic constipation not only causes bloating and indigestion and inflammation, but also tanks metabolism. Right? So it's allowing more of the bad bacteria and microbes to grow, causing more inflammation. And when the body's inflamed, it hangs on to fat mass. I keep saying it's the final thing, but this really is the final thing because I keep realizing I forgot all these crucial little tidbits for you. A big one that people tend to look over when it comes to metabolism is their toxic load in their body. Most of us have quite a toxic load in our body. Our modern lifestyle, we are bombarded with toxins all day long, from the detergents that you're using, the air fresheners, the bath and body products, your makeup, your body washes, your shampoo, constantly getting these chemicals into our system. Even if you've chosen to go green with those products, you know, we can only eat organic as much as possible. And some people aren't even able to afford it because things are so darn expensive these days, but it's also just hard to find. And so we're constantly taking in pesticides and herbicides and all of these chemicals in our food as well. And we can do things like specific, you know, produce rinses to try to get off as much as we can. We're still taking some of that in, right? So unfortunately, these toxins in our food specifically, those are killing off some of the good bacteria. But also, any toxic load that's going into our body, toxins are actually stored in fat cells. So listen up closely here. Toxins are stored in fat cells, and this is why a lot of women end up with things like breast cancer or lymph issues. The toxins are being stored in the fat tissues. Now, if our bodies already has a high level of inflammation, so maybe, you know, you're not eating well, you're not sleeping, you're stressed out, your body's inflamed. Okay, fine. So we're trying to start doing the things to bring that inflammation down. And all of those other toxins we talked about are stashed away in our fat cells. So think about it from your body's perspective. It's thinking, okay, I've got a really high toxic load, lots of inflammation going on. The last thing I want to do is break down those fat cells for energy because that's going to liberate and release a lot of toxins into the body. I can't deal with that right now. Right now, I'm just trying to get through the day. I already have a huge level of inflammation and toxic load, maybe because of gut bacteria imbalances or the, you know, toxins in your food or toxins in your products. The body can only handle so much. So if it's already having a hard time detoxifying what it's got on a day-to-day basis, it's not going to want to break down those fat cells to help you lose weight. It's going to keep those fat cells there because it's stashing away those toxins and it cannot handle more toxic load. So the more we can go clean with our products, the more we can support our body's detoxing processes, the more likely our body is going to be able to break down those fat cells for energy. And it will liberate toxins in the process, but if your body's able to handle it, it's more likely to do it. So really keeping that in mind that we want to support the liver, gallbladder, because that is a big, big way that our body detoxes. We want to be having those regular bowel movements. And our kidneys is another detox organ, our lymphatic system, and sweating through our skin. The more we can support all of those detox processes, the better off we will be, because the body will be in a state where it's able to handle breaking down fat and releasing more toxins into the system. So I hope you guys found this helpful, and I hope it helps you understand that metabolism is more complex than the diet industry likes to tell us. And hopefully now you can ease off on the diet and the exercise piece, right? Obviously, we want to eat healthy. We want to move our bodies, but we don't want to go to the extremes, because as I said, that's putting more of a stress on the body, and it's less likely to burn fat when it's in that stress state. So I really hope this was empowering for you, and you can start making some gentle changes to your diet, exercise, and routines to help your body more effectively, you know, support metabolism and burn belly fat. If you have any questions about the episode, feel free to reach out. I would love to chat with you. I do offer complimentary meet and greets virtually. This is a 15-minute consult where we can chat about your health concerns, your health goals, and I can give you some guidance and some clarity as to what your next best steps should be, whether that's with me or not. There's no pressure. I just want to help you get empowered with some knowledge and clarify what your next steps should be. And then if you're wanting to book in with me, great. If not, that's totally fine. So I do have some of those spots available in the upcoming weeks. However, I am getting married this year, and I am focused on launching my app. So I do have limited spots available for spring and summer 2024. So make sure you book in before the spots are gone. I also have my app launching in the fall. So really, really excited about that. The reason I put this app together was because I found that most people, especially when, you know, healthy eating and nervous system support are new habits for them, it's really hard to make that a habit because life happens, right? We're all busy. We're all stressed. It's hard enough to put a healthy meal on the table for dinner, let alone make time or find ways to add these new practices like meditation and deep breathing and all the things we need to do to fully heal our guts. So something I realized was if I created an app, I could support people with more frequent check-ins, you know, notifications like, hey, have you logged your gut symptoms today? Hey, how is your fiber intake? Hey, have you had enough protein today? Hey, have maybe try one of these deep breathing exercises. The more we have that constant support and check-ins, the more likely we are to do these things, these foundational healthy habits that fast-track our gut healing. And then the goal of the app too is to really empower you to step away from fixating only on diet and supplements, because that's where people get stuck. I'm bringing on some amazing professionals to join me on there to empower you to understand more about the gut-brain connection and the nervous system piece and how that is so critical for gut healing. So that's going to include hypnotherapy, somatic therapies, breath work, yoga, all kinds of amazing special trainings with these practitioners that are really going to help you get unstuck and fast track your gut healing journey. I know for me, I struggled for decades and I was doing all the right things with diet and supplements. And I still was stuck. And this was the biggest missing piece of the puzzle for me. And once I did that and I was able to make those things daily habits, that's where the magic happened. And I really skyrocketed and fast-tracked my gut healing in a matter of months. So I'm so very passionate about bringing this to you in a way that's doable for someone with a busy life. You know, apps are user-friendly. So I'm going to be launching in the fall. And a really exciting promo I do want to share with you is if you purchase my Fix Your Gut Formula program before the fall, you will get free access to the app as a beta tester. So I'm really excited to bring that to you as a bonus offer if you sign up for my Fix Your Gut Formula program. So this is my signature program that has my Fix Your Gut Formula course, recipes. There is a masterclass library with some mind-body practices. And you get a session with myself included as well. So it's a huge value. Traditionally, I've been selling it for $349 Canadian, one installment. But I recently decided, because it would be more affordable for the average person, to have it more as a subscription model. So you can now get access to my Fix Your Gut Formula program for $39.95 per month for, I believe it's 10 or 11 months. Don't quote me on that. So it ends up being a lot more affordable with monthly payments. So I wanted to give that as an option for people so they can really get started on their gut healing journey without having to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars. So if you want to take advantage of the Fix Your Gut Formula promo and then also get free access when the app launches in the fall, definitely head to the link in the show notes, and I will see you later. Thanks for joining me today. Hey, if you have 30 seconds, if you could leave a rating or review in your podcast app, that would help other women just like you heal their guts. And if you could share the episode on your favorite social platform and tag me, Mindful Vitality, that would be great. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. And thanks so much for tuning in. I'll chat with you soon.